What this part of the seminar will address is the scope of application of the Charter, and within it, in particular, the scope of application of the Charter to national measures. Okay, so I know you know, but I know you know that I know, and this is going to be a fairly advanced seminar. We know what the application of the Charter to domestic measure could mean. We will see how it works. So we will discuss in short, whether the Charter binds states, in which circumstances, and obviously, which is what interests you the most, whether you as a national judge have the obligation to apply the Charter in domestic proceedings, or if you don't know for sure, whether there is good enough opportunity to raise a preliminary question to know either whether the Charter applies or the meaning of the Charter that you wish to apply. So this is the scenario we are in, and unfortunately it is not a scenario that is very, very clear. Now, let's see if I can move on here. Right, so we will start with a short flash quiz. So if you didn't have coffee, that will wake you up. I will show you a question that was raised by a colleague of yours. So this is a preliminary question, and you have a look at it and you tell me what you think about it. Then we will try to reinvent the wheel. We will try to start from scratch on this Charter application thing, because my impression is that many of the dead ends that we bump into, many of the problems we have, derive from some lazy thinking about how the Charter applies. And that's, then of course we're in trouble, we struggle. So let's quickly forget all we know and start to learn anew why the Charter should apply to member states at all. And I believe that even if that doesn't solve everything, it will help a lot. We will see then how to interpret Article 51, paragraph 1 of the Charter that creates the possibility for the Charter to apply to member states. And we will look at a gallery of cases, probably after the break, or you know, right before and after the break. I'm talking about the first break. Then of course, in about 1 hour 15, we will really take a different course and we will approach the group work for the case studies. Now, what we have here is the first provision that we, everything revolves around this provision. This is Article 51 of the Charter of Fundamental Rights. And what we need to note in particular, and I'm sure this is not news to any of you, is how the Charter is supposed to apply. And although you think I'm now being patronizing and saying something very obvious, we really need to start from the first line that says the Charter is addressed to the Union. This is very important. The Charter is not addressed to the member states. The Charter is addressed to the Union's bodies and institutions. And if you need to think about the Charter and only know one thing, this is the only thing you need to know. The Charter is not like the European Convention of Human Rights, or is not like the domestic constitutions that every country has. It doesn't set out rights and freedoms and guarantees for citizens at large. It is a charter that only binds the European Union's bodies and institutions. And now we come to the tricky part, of course, because if it were so easy, we wouldn't be here. It also can apply to member states, but only when they are implementing union law. So, of course, you know already, we will discuss this point, the implementation of union law by the member states. Why? Is it anything surprising in knowing that member states implement union law? Not at all. It's normal. It's expected. That's how union law works in many cases. Member states must implement it. But for our purposes and for your purposes, that is a gateway condition for the charter to apply, because otherwise there would be zero reason for the charter to apply to the member states. Why? And that is super simple, and it should be remembered. The European Union has no competence in regulating how member states behave in the field of human rights protection. That's as simple as that. I know that the European Union cares a lot about human rights, but that's different from saying that the European Union can regulate human rights protection. These are two different things. I care a lot about football, and I'll make sure I'll be before the television when the Champions League final is there. That is very different from saying that I decide when the Champions League final takes place. These are two different things. I respect the scheduling of UEFA. I don't decide the scheduling of UEFA. That's the same with the European Union and human rights. The European Union wants to respect human rights, and that's why it adopted a chapter for itself, but has no power, or in technical terms, no regulatory jurisdiction to give obligations to the member states. That's not in the treaties. That's nowhere. The EU is not a human rights organization. It's not the Council of Europe. So, and I hope this is all clear, because I know the European Union likes so much human rights, that talks about human rights so much, that it's easy to forget that is not what they are asked to do. They have no reserved power to do that. So in this light, first of all, you understand the second paragraph much better. The member states agreed to the charter, why not? But made it incredibly clear that the charter creates zero additional obligations on the member states, because it only creates obligation for the European Union. And the charter itself cannot be seen as a creation of a new competence or power or even task. So see how they want to make absolutely clear that the EU has no new human rights competence. Right. If we are clear with this framework, then we do understand why we need the little exception. Sometimes the member states implement EU law, and therefore they are acting as if they were the union's agents. And when they do that, it is only normal that they act in the same way the union would act, which includes compliance with human rights. Okay? So this is not something that the EU can ask member states to do. This is a commitment that the EU takes for itself, because the EU certainly cares about rule of law and human rights, and so it wants to make sure that its own action is in compliance with fundamental rights, but it has no power to create obligations. Is that clear? Can I go on? So now it's the time for a flash quiz. So have a look at this flash quiz, okay? This is a question that was posed by a domestic judge. And it's a complicated one, so I'll give you 1 minute to read it, okay? But please start from the middle here. We have a decision of Amnesty, okay? Amnesty decision that terminated criminal proceedings. The Amnesty decision was annulled by domestic law. And a result, the criminal proceedings were reopened. And so the question is this provision that reopens criminal proceedings after an amnesty compatible with the Charter? That's it. And obviously, if it is not compatible with the Charter, the judge asks, should I set it aside? Now, I would like a quick survey from you. Have a minute to read this. What do you think about this question? Is the national court bound by a provision of national law that cancels an amnesty and reopens criminal proceedings? Can I ask you to think about it and see what your view is? Right. So most people said, yes, you need to be bound by such provision of national law. I have a comment. I think I agree with you. I don't know why each of you that said yes said it. Let me share with you why I believe that the answer must be that the national law in question applies, okay? The national law in question applies because there's no reason it should be set aside for breach of EU law, because there isn't a single provision of EU law referred to in this question. Do you follow me? So this is a judge that is asking, I have a provision of domestic law. Is it compatible with Article 47 of the Charter or with Article 50 of the Charter? Forget about Article 82, that's irrelevant, trust me. But the question here is it compatible with Article 47 of the Charter? Is it compatible with Article 50 of the Charter? And that is an absurd question. If one thing you learn today is not to draft questions like these, because a domestic law cannot breach the Charter. The Charter doesn't apply to domestic laws. There's only one exception, that the member state is implementing EU law, but EU law doesn't mean the Charter, means some other source of EU law. And here in the question, there's no reference to any other source of EU law. So the judge is not telling me why this provision is breaching EU law and therefore cannot be asking whether it breaches the Charter. Okay? So there was a bit of a trick question, but the result I think is the same that you mentioned. This is not a case where you should set aside a national provision because simply there is no suspicion of breach of EU law to begin with. You cannot jump to the Charter if you don't go through EU law first. Right, I hope that's sort of clear. And so let's summarize and be realistic, because I know many people and the European Union itself likes to confuse the matter. They will tell you the Charter has the same value as the treaty. And that gives you an impression that it has the same scope of application of the treaties, but that's not true. The Charter does not apply to member states because the EU has no power to regulate human rights protection. There is an exception, of course, which is indispensable, because when the acts of the EU agents, the member states, are carried out, they should be carried out in the same way the principle, the union, would carry them. And that can be the case that the member states or member states' authorities do something on behalf of the European Union, and in those circumstances, they need to comply with human rights protection. So, of course, this is a provocation. It's I'm not inventing anything, and this is not particularly, you know, revolutionary, but let's just make super clear that we start from the presumption that the Charter doesn't apply, and we need to see the agency criterion. We need to see the implementation criterion. Otherwise, we do not apply the Charter. We do not even ask. We do not even think about the Charter. Okay? So let's see how implementing EU law can be unpacked. So we started from the idea that the union cannot tell member states how to behave on your human rights. But of course, the European Union sets a lot of obligation for member states. So with the rest of EU law, the member states are bound by EU law obligations, right? So all the norms in the treaties bind the state, the directives bind the state, the regulations, the decisions bind the states. So in all matters in which the union has conferred competencies and can regulate, the member states are bound, and they are bound to do things or to not do things. Sometimes they implement EU law, so they act as EU agents. And in those circumstances, that is, when member states are implementing other sources of EU law, the charter will apply too. Do I make myself clear? The charter is not the EU law we are looking at when we are looking at implementing EU law. Okay, if you need a shortcut, implementing EU law in Article 51 means implementing EU law different than the charter, other than the charter. The charter comes with the rest of EU law. It never comes on its own, okay? So this is the shadow principle. You should always, always remember it if you are thinking, like this judge, this poor judge thought, oh, maybe the charter applies, but it doesn't make sense to assume that the charter applies on its own. First, you need to have other provisions of EU law that apply. And if there are those provisions that are being implemented, then the charter comes with it. You cannot have the charter without the rest of EU law. I hope it's clear, because that's precisely how Article 51 works. You stay within the scope of application of EU law. Yes, well, then the charter shall apply. You are not within the scope of application of EU law. Well, then the charter doesn't apply. There's no way a national measure can be checked for compliance with the charter unless it's implementing EU law, it's derogating from EU law, it's contradicting EU law, it's violating EU law, and so forth. There has to be another provision of EU law that you need to resolve the case. And this is the moment for a second quiz. So I hope I have the support of a poll again. So again, so this is a long question, but start from here, okay? There is a tax break on the basis of which training is only deductible from taxes under certain circumstances. For instance, if training was done when you are young, you can deduct it from your tax. So if training is done after 30 year old, then it's not deductible, which seems to be a discrimination on grounds of age, okay? But the discrimination on ground of age is derived from a directive. And here we have a question by a referring judge that says, if the directive does not apply, does the principle of non-discrimination of EU law apply to a tax concession, blah, 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 some domestic measure, even if that domestic measure falls outside the scope of the directive and does not implement EU law? So to summarize, is this tax concession a national measure bound by the principle of non-discrimination, even if it does not fall in the scope of the directive? So this is the question we have. I don't know whether we're gonna do a flash poll again, but I would like you to do a yes or no answer here. Okay, so it's about 6 to 10 do a no, and then there's a bit of yeses going on. Okay, so again, we don't know the facts of these cases. So we base our judgment only on the way this question is phrased. But I believe this question is also absurd, because read what it says at the end. This national measure falls outside the directive and falls and does not implement EU law in general, okay? So EU law does not apply. We have a tax arrangement that is not implementing the directive, is not implementing EU law. How can EU law apply, including the charter or the general principle of non-discrimination? Here's one of those cases where you, not you, but this judge, for instance, forgot the basics. EU law doesn't apply to all domestic measures. It only applies to the measure to which it applies, which is the difficult thing to decide. I'm with you on that. But if you yourself put the premise that the directive does not apply and EU law is not implemented, then the only natural conclusion is that the general principles of EU law do not apply either. Is that clear? So this is non-discrimination on grounds of age, okay? So we're not talking, for instance, discrimination on grounds of gender and the pay gap, because that is a primary obligation under the treaty. But this is, we're talking general principle and charter. If EU law does not apply, then there's no way these general principles could apply. So this is another way to see how sometimes the confusion filters through. Now, here's another way, I believe, that we can think about the application of the charter. It is not the charter that applies, but it is EU law, other EU law, that applies in compliance with the charter. Do you see what I mean? A directive will apply, and you need to assume that it can only apply in compliance with the charter, because the charter is a condition of validity of EU law. And so Article 7 of Directive 2000/78, as interpreted in compliance with the charter, will apply to domestic law. So this is just a rephrasing of the shadow effect, but I think it gives you maybe an idea, because if you think it that way, you will never phrase a question like the ones that we have seen, in which there is no reference of EU law altogether, because it doesn't make sense to talk about the charter without talking about EU law. And this is, for instance, a question that does it in this way, which I think is a good way to do it. So it doesn't say, is it compatible with the charter? It says, is it compatible with secondary law, a directive, if you take into account the charter? Do you see the difference? It's super clear about the triggering rule of other EU law, Article 51 of Directive 2002/58. Now, if that is the applicable EU law, then of course you need to make sure that the domestic norm is in compliance also with the charter. So this is, I think, a nice way to think about the application of the charter to domestic rules. So I'm very, you know, equanimous. So I showed you two cases in which the question is phrased in a way where you see something is wrong, but also a question where you see that everything is on spot. And so maybe one shortcut for you to ask yourself and to ascertain whether the charter apply is simply ask yourself, what is the rule of EU law other than the charter that must be applied to solve this case? If you find one, well, then EU law must apply and the charter must apply too. So if you use this shortcut, you discard completely the two questions we have seen, one and two, because it gave you zero rules of EU law applicable to the case. And so you don't get the right to discuss the charter or general principles if you don't have any rule of EU law that applies to the case. So this is a good shortcut. to think about, which is good and bad maybe, because if you think about it, we should stop thinking about the scope of application of the Charter, right? Because the scope of application of the Charter is only an implication of the application of EU law. So we shouldn't really know or ask or question or doubt the conditions for the application of the Charter, but only the conditions for the application of EU law to domestic measures. And I don't know whether this is good news or bad news, in the sense that we solve a problem by going to another bigger problem. But this is the truth. What you need to know is when EU law applies to domestic measures. You don't need to come up with a magic formula for the Charter, because if EU law applies, then the Charter is automatically applicable. But if the EU law doesn't apply, then the Charter is automatically not applicable. So I don't know, again, I don't know whether this reassures you or worries you, but just shift the zoom, shift the focus on the application of EU law, and that's how to do it. Right. So let's do another couple of points, and then maybe we take some questions. Now, didn't we just say the primary thing to know, and also the decisive thing to know, is whether EU law applies to domestic measures? And you might think that sounds like a big topic, but also probably a topic that is quite commonly understood, right? The Charter is sort of new, it's tricky, but EU law, we should know when it applies, right? So maybe, you know, it's a bigger topic, but an easier solution. I don't have any good news for you, because when EU law applies to domestic measures is really not very clear. How do you know whether EU law applies, which is the decisive point for the Charter too? Do you check whether there are EU competences in a certain field? You go to the treaty and you see the deferred powers of the conferred powers of the European Union. And so, you know, the common market, environmental protection, freedom of security and justice, you know, the powers of the European Union, and say, well, in this field, EU law applies. No, unfortunately, that's not so easy. Why? Because even in fields of exclusive domestic competences, member states can breach EU law. Do you follow? So the EU can legislate only on certain matters, but the member state can breach EU law when it does anything. So Sein Wittgenstein, I think you discussed Sein Wittgenstein, and if you haven't, it's very simple. So there was a lady from Germany, I think, there was a Nobel. So she was von Wittgenstein, but when she moved to Austria, Austria required her to drop the noble title, the von. So this is a matter of exclusive domestic competence, how you record surnames in the registry, right? That has nothing to do with EU law. And so you would say, well, this is a case where EU law doesn't apply. However, by restricting her liberty to move across the European Union, maintaining her surname, Austria had created an obstacle to the freedom of movement, and therefore there was a breach of EU law as stated in the treaties. So a member state is not just executing EU competences, but also has to respect EU law, which means that it doesn't really matter which field we are in, it's always possible that a member state breaches EU law. And that would mean that EU law applies, and that will mean that the Charter applies. So in some way, the competences of the EU are not a good predictor of whether EU law applies, because sometimes EU law applies even outside the EU competences. But also, unfortunately, the EU competencies are not a good predictor because sometimes they are there, but EU law does not apply. Why? Because the EU might have a competence but has not exercised it, and therefore there's no EU law that applies. So the fact that the EU can pass certain measures on member states doesn't mean that is part of EU law until and unless the EU passes such law. So whether the domestic measure is under the scope of EU law depends, for instance, of whether there is any EU law on the topic. It's not just enough to look at the competencies of the European Union. So you see, we have certain benchmarks to tell whether EU law applies, but looking at the competencies of the EU is not a very reliable one. So before we break for a discussion, let's just go to the basics. So what do you do in a case to see whether EU law applies to a domestic measure? Sometimes you have a super easy case. The domestic measure, national law, for instance, is just a incorporation of execution of EU law. For instance, it is the law that incorporates a directive. Of course, EU law applies in those cases to the incorporating measure. Then easy cases, which are the shortcut cases. You remember the shortcut? Does the outcome in your case, in the main proceedings, depend on interpreting and applying EU law? And every time we say EU law, we mean other than the charter. Please do never forget. If so, then you need to apply EU law to decide the case, which means EU law applies. I know it sounds circular, but you know, you've seen people misunderstanding that. So EU law applies to decide the case you have. Well, there you go. EU law applies. The charter also applies. And then there are other harder cases, very difficult to conceptualize, when EU law applies not so much to the case, but to the subject matter. So maybe it's not decisive for the outcome of the case, but it still signals the scope of application of EU law that's probably not decisive for the case, but it is enough for the charter to apply under Article 51. Okay, I'll stop here. Actually, I'll stop here and tell you a little secret. This is just a trivia. So far, after 12 years from the Lisbon Treaty, the charter has been applied several times to annul EU law, Digital Rights Ireland, Testa Shah, annulling directives and regulations, but has never been used to declare a domestic measure incompatible with the charter unless it was already in breach of something else. So sometimes you find a domestic measure that breaches the freedom of circulation and the charter, that breaches a regulation and the charter. But you never find in the case, not even one case, in which the domestic measure is only in breach of the charter. It's hypothetically possible, it just has never happened, okay? That's why it's so important to look at the other EU law, because there hasn't been a single case in which the other EU law permitted domestic law that was not permitted under the charter. How do you cope with this idea that EU law does not only apply when there is an EU law source applicable to the case, but when there is a scope of application of EU law that triggers the charter? That is a bit more complicated, and you cannot really have a shortcut, in the sense that it's not enough to ask yourself, does EU law solve the case I have? Because maybe it doesn't solve it, but it applies to it. And so the charter should be looked at. And this is the example you see in Franson. Okay, so Franson was about the possibility that, I think in Sweden, after you get a tax penalty, you are also tried for in criminal proceedings for fiscal evasion. Now the question becomes, isn't this against the principle of ne bis in idem? You cannot be tried twice about the same offense. Now, by now, one thing you know for sure, this is the wrong question to start with. You don't start with the charter or with the human right. You start by EU law. What's the EU law that you have? And so in that case, the EU law that you have is the treaty provision that says that the member states shall enforce any breach of the financial interests of the European Union, which includes collecting VAT, which includes persecuting tax evasion. So in simply applying fiscal penalties, Sweden unintendedly acted within the scope of EU law, because EU law requires member states to prosecute fiscal evasion. And so the charter applies as a consequence. And this is the bit of the reasoning that you have there. So the fact that you are discussing an act of a member state that without design, without intention, ended up applying some EU law, like the obligation to prosecute fiscal evasion, was enough to say that Sweden was implementing EU law because it was acting within the scope of EU law, and the charter would apply to. Now, do you get the point? Sweden, for the main proceedings, there was no question of whether Sweden was breaching Article 325 of the treaty. So it wasn't really relevant. It was just so that the acts of the domestic authorities fell within the scope of EU law. And if you do that, then you have to apply the charter. And the charter provides for the ne bis in idem principle. And you need to make sure as a domestic judge that the accumulation of a penalty and of prosecution does not breach that principle. How do you deal with these various interpretation formulas? Sometimes it's very easy. If the state is complying with an obligation of EU law, like in France, or like in all the cases where the judge is simply responsible for giving equivalent protection to a right deriving from EU law, well, then of course the charter applies. And of course you might have, for instance, a case of a right to an effective remedy under Article 47 of the charter. Other simple cases, if the member state is transposing a directive, that is a domestic measure that of course implements EU law. So these cases you will find not particularly difficult. Sometimes the domestic measure is taken under EU law granting of an accordance with EU domestic law clause. We will see what that means. Sometimes the domestic law derogates from EU law obligations. So it's not implementation in the sense of respect and execution, but it's derogation from it, and it still counts as scope of application. Sometimes the state exercises a margin of discretion that is left open by EU law, and that also counts as implementation. And then we have the tricky discrimination case, where EU law doesn't even really apply to that case, but marks the scope. Kukuk de Veci, Dansk, Max Planck, but it could have Mangold and many others. So in these cases, as we were discussing earlier, the scope of application does not correspond to the application of EU law in the specific case very much. So this is just to give you an example of specification. You see here that Article 11 of these directives on the social security for long-term residents in the EU provides an obligation. So members shall give equal treatment, but the obligation is conditioned because it says, and I read at the end of the provision, social protection as defined by national law. So that is a bit circular, right? This is an EU law obligation that depends on what national law says, right? So that national law, is it inside the scope of application of EU law or outside? Because you can do whatever you want. It's inside. So when you exercise the power to make those definitions, you're still implementing EU law. And that's why Article 34 of the Charter on Social Provisions applies to, okay? So this is just one example. When you have a rule of EU law that says as defined by national law, you might think EU law doesn't cross the border, but it does. So the scope of application includes those provisions of national law. Here we have a case of discretion instead, okay? So here's a tricky case. An individual requested disclosure of environmental information because he wanted to know whom to sue for damage he had suffered after rainfall. And there is a right to request environmental information under a certain directive. So in principle, it could invoke that directive. However, member states may provide to refuse that information if that interferes with criminal proceedings or fair trial. So you see here, we have a provision of EU law that opens up an exception that the state can decide to adopt. Okay, so if the state decides to adopt an exception using this provision, then it's implementing EU law, okay? That is a fairly simple point. The case is a bit more complicated than that. I'd be happy to discuss it. But the simple point is that when a state uses a power of liberty within EU law, for instance, to derogate from a general obligation, then it's implementing EU law, and so the Charter applies too. Now, I have this case here, and I'm happy to see that you will discuss it tomorrow. And I also have to apologize because in the slides you have, maybe I put the wrong number of reference. So this is the correct one, okay? But this is interesting. So essentially, EU law under a regulation requires that animals shall be stunned before they are killed. So they are not killed when they are like breathing and suffering, but they are stunned first and then killed. However, that goes against kosher slaughtering and halal slaughtering. So there is an exception for slaughter prescribed by religious rites. And that is an exception that applies to all states. However, the regulation shall not prevent member states for providing some animal protection in case of religious rites, okay? So states have the liberty under this regulation to adopt measures that protect animal welfare more than the simple, kill it however you want of Article 4. Those national rules, if you pass those rules, will be implementation of EU law. And therefore, you need to respect the Charter. And I won't give you the facts of this case because I'm sure you will discuss it tomorrow, but essentially Belgium tried to create some animal rights even in kosher and halal slaughtering. And that has to be done in a way that is compatible with freedom of religion. So there is a genuine Charter case. But for the purpose of today, it's important simply to say that when the EU law gives you the right to adopt certain measures, then you are implementing EU law when you adopt them. And then we have the tricky cases of discrimination. And I only need two more minutes. Sometimes EU law does not apply because luckily we've anticipated this scenario, right? Directives do not apply in horizontal disputes. But is the existence of a directive enough to say that the domestic measure that goes against the idea of non-discrimination falls under the scope of EU law? And yes, we find those cases. and Dansk is one. And even if we are discussing a dispute between private parties, a horizontal dispute, domestic law that affects the dismissal of workers regards the same topic of the directive, and therefore the main legislation here falls within the scope of EU law, and therefore non-discrimination and the rest of the charter will apply. These are the trickier cases, but luckily they are limited to discrimination. This is an interesting case because in effect, the directive does not apply to the main proceedings because it lacks effect. And you could say that maybe this is a case of ineffective application, and that's why it's still good to signal where EU law is and you can apply the charter instead. This is another case of may. And so even if it seems like the directive shall not apply to certain activities, Article 15 says the member states may take certain measures. When you exercise the right under Article 15, you are implementing EU law. And therefore, the charter shall apply too. Okay, that's the end. I will just leave you with a little guidance that comes from a case in Siracusa. It's a case that tells you, you know, what to look at. It's zero doctrinally rigorous. It's just a series of tips. Is there a sufficient connection with EU law from the domestic measure that you want to apply? Is this domestic measure intended to implement EU law or not? You know, if it does, there's a good chance Article 51 applies. Is it a general measure or a specific measure? If it's general, it's a bit unlikely that the EU element is relevant. Does the measure have other purposes that have nothing to do with EU law? Because if so, maybe that's not within the scope of EU law. And does EU law contain rules that govern that matter? Or are you only thinking about subject matters and fields? So these are the questions that you can ask yourself if you're not sure. And if you say no to most, maybe there's no scope of application. And I can give you one example. If is a case that relates to domestic property, but has a vague connection with the regulation of natural parks connected to EU law. So, you know, when you're under some domestic obligation to do something with your house because it's in a natural park. So first of all, and this is an old case, but I think it gives you a clear idea. There is nothing in this case to suggest that domestic law implemented community law. So even if this domestic law might be capable of affecting indirectly agricultural matters, this connection is insufficient to grant the application of EU law because it was really, really pursuing other objectives. So this is not something within the scope of EU law, and therefore we will not look at general principles or now the charter. So I know this is more common sense than a rule, but if the connection is really remote, then you don't need to worry about the charter. So what do you do with the scope? Well, you check whether there is another norm of EU law other than the charter. And if there is, or if the party says there is, you use your common sense and the Siracusa checklist to be aware that EU law really matters for this case. If it does, the charter should apply too.